Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Well, I'm excited about today's show. I think it'll be a show of interest for a lot of people. I'm joined today by Erica Windham, who is the regional director at Unlocking the Spectrum, which is a group that raises awareness about autism. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you very much.
So, as we normally do, I'd like to talk to you first about a little bit about your background and how you got into this area of expertise, and then we'll get into what autism is and its prevalence and maybe some causational issues. So, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. It actually started quite a long time ago as far as my interest in this field. I was a peer tutor in middle school and high school for special education. So it was always an interest, and my love for the field just kind of grew through the kids I got to work with in middle school and high school, and I just really connected with them and found an interest. So I pursued my bachelor degree in child development and kind of didn't know what I wanted to do with that necessarily, but I became an ABA therapist for Unlocking the Spectrum in 2011, and I fell in love with ABA, so I then pursued my master's degree in special education. You also have to take behavioral coursework, and I did that at the Florida Institute of Technology, and then you sit for a national board to become a board-certified behavior analyst.
Wow, so you said ABA. Was that the acronym you used? What is
ABA,
that?
ABA, and that stands for Applied Behavior Analysis. Applied Behavior Analysis is under the Surgeon General one of the most common treatments for children or individuals with autism. It's actually the only one that the Surgeon General recommends, and it's empirically researched and kind of the most common one you'll find.
Okay. So, and I know you're regional director for Unlocking the Spectrum. Two things.
Yes.
I mean, what's the region and what exactly is Unlocking the Spectrum?
Unlocking the Spectrum is a company that provides ABA to children diagnosed with autism. And Unlocking the Spectrum, we were created with the mission of making ABA therapy accessible to all children with autism by providing the highest quality ABA therapy services to those in need. And we actually have four locations in the state of Indiana. We are located, I'm the regional director for Terre Haute, Indiana, and my region goes as far down as Vincennes and all the way up to about Greencastle, and then surrounding areas like possibly Clinton or Rockville, Park County, Brazil.
Okay.
We have our central location in Indianapolis, and we have a center in Seymour and Columbus and Bloomington, Indiana.
Seymour, Columbus, Bloomington. Very good. So Daviess County, Knox County, are those in two different regions?
Say that again.
Daviess County, Knox County, is that your region or is that two different regions? Or
Knox County would be, we do have people that travel to go to Terre Haute to receive services, yes.
I see. Well, very good. And you mentioned that you were a peer tutor back in school. Where did you go to high school? Where would you say you're from?
I am from Vincennes, and I went to high school and middle school in Vincennes, Clark, and Lincoln.
Oh, very good. So it's nice to kind of get your background and see how you got to where you're at. This is a very interesting issue for me. Autism, and that there's a spectrum of autism, and I guess my question is, you know, what would you say autism is, and explain this spectrum that you've referred to.
Okay, autism or autism spectrum disorder, it can refer to a range of symptoms or conditions, and it's characterized by challenges in different areas, so social skills, speech and communication, repetitive behaviors, and challenging behaviors. And that all is encompassed by the individual's strengths and differences. There's not just like one type of autism, but many types. And the word spectrum specifically, it kind of reflects the wide variation in the challenges and strengths of each person that has the diagnosis.
Gotcha. And I know this field of medicine has changed a lot. You've learned a lot about it over the past, just recently, and the incidence is really going up. You sent me some articles that were pretty alarming, but the prevalence, it seems like, is going up, or maybe just your ability to detect it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, you know, most often, parents, or sometimes it's not even the parents that possibly notice this. It could be their daycare center, their nanny, or family friend. But normally, they kind of discover that their child is displaying some symptoms of the autism spectrum disorder, and that's usually noticeable in between 2 and 3 years of age. Sometimes even younger. We've had clients that are as young as 2, so getting their diagnosis even before they're at the age of 2. And then the other way as well, being that an individual that's higher on the spectrum and has higher functioning autism, those symptoms don't become more noticeable until they get a little bit older.
Much later in life.
Very cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, and what do these people, what do parents or nannies or loved ones notice at these early ages? I mean, how would a parent who has a young child, what might they notice if this were the case?
Well, one of the biggest kind of indicators is communication. So everything involved in communication, whether there is, you know, eye contact, whether the communication is hitting the milestones, or if they're, you know, severely behind the milestones or not speaking at all. Including even possible, you know, sounds or babble at all. So that is, you know, a big significant symptom that, you know, parents can be aware of. However, being that it is a cluster of different symptoms and a spectrum of different characteristics, you know, it's one of those things where you just really want to be in good communication and have that open talk with your pediatrician. Autism is only diagnosed by a medical doctor, and so you want to be open of any concerns that you have with your doctor.
Sure. And I guess in some of the articles that you sent me, Erica, you talked, or the articles referred to just the amount of prevalence. And I guess I mentioned this earlier, but I was surprised by how prevalent it is. And it's becoming more prevalent. I saw that 1 in about 60 children have land somewhere on the spectrum. So I want to unpack that a little bit. What does the spectrum mean? And try to explain that. And then, I mean, how have we gotten to almost 1 in 60 or 1 in 59 children that have this issue?
Well, I think the spectrum, like I said, you know, it's the wide range. So it's a child landing on the very low end where there could be multiple deficits in many areas, or a child that's a little bit higher on the spectrum but not meeting a developmental milestone or having trouble in one significant area of social skills, communication, daily self-help skills, those types of things.
So to that, so you might have someone that's in a class with, you know, regular students that's high functioning. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And even, you know, the terms low functioning and high functioning really don't mean anything. It, you know, each a child that is nonverbal can be in a general education class and be able to be in a general setting, whereas a high-functioning student who is very verbal and very, very bright may not be able to be in a general education setting depending on the deficits that they have.
Sure.
So, it's, you know, one of the things that we really look at with parents and educators of what is the best setting for each individual child to learn.
Right.
So not necessarily looking at just the diagnosis itself of they have autism. What can this child do and where are they best going to thrive?
Sure. And I'm going to kind of hopefully bring it home for some people who maybe haven't had an opportunity to interact with someone with autism. I've got a cousin who has autism, is on the spectrum, and they were aware of that even at a young age. But I think a lot of people, maybe if you've seen the film Rain Man, where Dustin Hoffman plays a gentleman who's extremely good at math, and then he struggles with other areas. Is that common? Is that a normal situation that you frequently see?
No, I mean, yes and no. That's kind of a loaded question because each child is different. And I think as I work with parents, obviously very closely, who have children on the spectrum, that's more of a stereotype. There are so many different individuals, and it literally is individually based, and each child has different strengths and different weaknesses. And I think the biggest thing is just the autism doesn't look like one certain thing. It looks like many, many, many things. And so I've heard educators or somebody say, I don't think this child has autism because they laugh and they make eye contact with me.
Yeah.
Those are just some types of, different characteristics. So, it really is individualized within the child. So it's really hard to kind of caption autism because it is so different child to child.
And I think that's also maybe why it's hard to talk about. Everyone is, we are all individuals. And
absolutely,
particularly this issue, this disorder is, it looks different in different people. My superior at my old job was, they thought he had high functioning autism, that he was on the spectrum, and they call that Asperger's. Is that right?
Yes, they used to refer to that. Now everything is under the DSM-5, the diagnostic criteria for the medical diagnosis. It's all autism spectrum. And they've kind of eliminated that specific diagnosis of Asperger's. But so anyone, even if they are put on the high functioning end, has a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
And I think it's hard for people, maybe if they've not interacted with someone that has autism, if they've not interacted with someone who maybe has unusual characteristics, they don't really know what you're talking about or what we are talking about. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah, that's a fair statement. And like I said, I was drawn to this at a very, pretty young age. But even my children now, they will ask me the questions like, hey, Mom, I'm talking to him and he's not talking back. And I said, I will just let them know, like, well, he doesn't verbally talk to you, but look, he's pointing and stuff like that. You have to kind of pick up on his communication. So it's just kind of creating that awareness that they may not be able to verbally communicate just like the typical individual, but every person communicates in one way or another. And so it's just kind of that, picking up on that and understanding that we all communicate different, even, people who don't have a diagnosis of autism.
Absolutely. And this is good information for our listeners. I'm on with Erica Windham, who works at Unlocking the Spectrum, and she's the regional director there. And we're talking about autism and what that means and what it is and just the high incidence and prevalence of it in our society. So we talked a little bit about what it means, and you talked about the awareness of this issue, and a lot of that is what this show is about. I'm trying to present different issues in the community and different points of view. Why is awareness of autism for kids or for adults or for whomever, why is that such an important thing?
I think the awareness is important on so many different levels. Society's awareness should be more focused on acceptance rather than just kind of awareness and being a support to those who are affected by it. Because of the prevalence, there's not likely to be many people that aren't affected by autism. More often than not, if you are not directly involved with it, you know someone who is. And an example of this is just that it's all around us, and most often families just need the general support because of things like everyday errands or out to dinner or typical things that most of us do without any planning or thinking. It requires strategic planning and preparation for families with a child with autism to make sure those things go smoothly.
Absolutely. So let's jump then again, and we've talked about prevalence. It's 1 in 59 children, I believe, and then I think in boys it's 1 in 37, which is significantly higher than in girls of 1 in 151 or 1 in 150. Why would it be so much higher in boys, and then also why is it becoming increasingly prevalent?
There really is no indication right now of the higher risk in boys. You know, there's so much research going into autism right now and finding out those questions and finding out a direct cause. However, most of the research points that we don't have a, you know, direct cause. So things like genetics or environmental factors, sometimes advanced parent age or complications during the pregnancy or birth.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying, Erica. Are you saying that we don't know what causes it? Why?
Correct.
Okay, but you are agreeing that it's significantly higher in boys for some reason.
Yes.
Okay.
It is not proven. There has been a heavy input on research on that factor of boys, and then also just the genetic cause, and we still don't have a clear answer to that.
That's really interesting. And I also saw that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, they say that since 2014, the likelihood of a child with autism is 15% more likely. So from 1 in 68 children up to 1 in 59 children. So we're at broken 60. I mean, that's extremely common. Any school you go to, you're going to have several children that would be on the spectrum, I would presume. So question I think I alluded to earlier, but is it becoming more prevalent, or are we just better at identifying it?
Both. We have better diagnostic tools. Parents are more aware of the characteristics and symptoms of autism, as well as your pediatricians and your doctors. So, you know, as far as better diagnostic tools, the more awareness, even though we have better diagnostic tools, each case is different. So I think sometimes, especially in the past, things might have been brushed off if they were a little bit higher functioning as possible,
sure.
ADHD or OCD or different diagnosis labels. And since they've kind of widened the spectrum since that DM5 has changed since 2013, I think we're seeing a little bit more wider diagnosis, spectrum there.
Now that makes sense. I mean, when I was in school, and you don't know how old I am, but I am... I say this, especially when I don't meet people, that I'm not that old or young, so I'm just somewhere in the middle. And
there you go.
We had, you know, different kids that had to go take medication throughout the day, but it wasn't like, I don't know that it was necessarily like it is today, where there's a diagnosis for everything. And in my opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Erica, but it seems a lot more kids are, I mean, if they're just poorly behaving, maybe they have ADHD. Well, maybe they're just poorly behaving. I mean, maybe
Correct.
They're just not doing a good job in class, or their parents have, it's one reason or another that they're having issues. But also, I do think we're better at identifying these things. I think there is an over-diagnosis, not so much with autism, but perhaps with ADHD. Do you agree with that, or am I off base?
No, I completely agree. And I think, and this is every parent, you know, has the choice to, you know, do the medication or those things. ABA actually is, it's behavioral science. And so finding the root of the problem and treating the behavioral kind of deficit as behavioral science is defined can help a lot of children overcome those different types of behavioral challenges. And so I just urge all parents to, you know, make sure that they're, you know, exploring all options. And there are a lot of different resources for autism right now. AutismSpeaks.org is one of my favorite kind of go-to websites just because it's nationally, they put empirical and peer-reviewed research on there, so it's nothing of opinion. And I just, you know, I urge parents to make sure they're considering all of the different areas of behavioral science that can help their child, even if it's not a diagnosis of autism.
Totally understand it. And we are going to have to get wrapped up here, Erica.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about a couple more things, and then I'll give you the last word.
Okay.
That one out of every 59 children on the spectrum, again, that was alarming to me, but it's my understanding that researchers believe that's low still, that's an undercount, and that the incidence is going to go up.
Yeah, I think just because of what we spoke about in this interview is just that as the doctors are doing a better job of noticing those precursor behaviors or precursor deficits of children, the diagnosing possibly, you know, will increase.
And last thing I'm going to ask you about, and we'll get wrapped up. Causation,
okay.
You talked a little bit about that. You talked about genetics. A lot of people say or are convinced that it's connected to vaccination. Maybe speak to causation briefly.
You know, each family has a unique experience with their child and how the diagnosis comes about. A lot of times because of that 2 to 3 age, it does correspond with the timing of their child's vaccines. The link between childhood vaccines and autism, the results of the research is clear and that vaccines do not cause autism. I have talked to several families that maybe, you know, the prevalence of autism, the genetics mixed in with the vaccines, you know, that is something to be more research to be conducted, but vaccines are extremely important, and I think anyone from research can tell you that there's not a direct link from vaccines to autism.
Understood. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I'm going to give you a couple seconds here, and we're going to close her out. Thank you so much again for your time, Erica.
Thank you very much for having me. And I want parents and friends and family to be aware of all the different things children with autism can do. It's not a terrible thing, and they are incredibly amazing, bright, and awesome individuals, and sometimes just need a little extra support.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Grant.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9 FM, 1580 AM. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW. And each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.